What's good, what's good, what's good, Muriel Zimbabwe, Mchagazo Moshe, Zimbabwe Moshe, Kwazwai, 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 Muriel Zimbabwe. Welcome to The Connection, a Studio 7's very own youth program that targets tackling anything and everything youth-related. The program you're listening to right now is Live Talk The Connection, brought to you by Studio 7, Voice of America, on Tuesday, the 6th of October, 2020. Muriel Zimbabwe, I'm your host, Michael Hove. Before we delve into business, Muriel Zimbabwe, Tino Urombo, Nasi, Chirongwa Chedu Achisi Live. Unfortunately, due to COVID-19, we're working from home. What this means is this is a pre-recorded program. And of course, you will not be able to call into the program as per usual. This is a pre-recorded program. Nonetheless, Chiripano Sisonke Lakso, Pano Pachirongwa Chedu Chedichidiki. And if you're looking to give your input, feel free to drop a comment on the Facebook broadcast that will be available soon after the radio broadcast. Or you can send us a WhatsApp message. Our number is 0202+1 202-465-0318. Tonight on The Connection, Nasi Njirongwa Chedu Chevechidiki, we zone in on COVID-19 and speak to Zimbabwean youth about how COVID-19 is affecting Zimbabwe at large. But the conversation will not be ending there. We also look to focus on what's happening in Zimbabwean schools. This is happening during a time whereby educators are currently protesting and examinations are closely approaching. So what does the current state of Zimbabwean education look like? We look to hear more later. But first up, health, umkhuhlane we coronavirus. According to Johns Hopkins University, over 35,520,000 people worldwide have contracted COVID-19, and over 44 million have over 1,044,000 people worldwide have died due to COVID-19. Over 24,780,000 have recovered. Now, according to the most recent tweet issued by the Ministry of Health, for those that are watching the Facebook stream, you can see it on the page. Zimbabwe currently has over 7,890 COVID cases. The deaths have been at 228 for almost a week now, which is a good thing, some positivity there. And over 6,420 people have recovered from COVID-19. Now, the latest information released by the Ministry of Health does not show the total amount of cumulative tests conducted to date. However, it highlights that 928 PCR tests were conducted yesterday. Of those 928, 10 people are tested positive and 65 recovered with no deaths. So what it's registering right now is that we are having more recoveries than deaths and less people are testing positive in the country. The country currently has 1,246 active COVID-19 cases to deaths. Now, once again, this is a pre-recorded program, so there's a possibility that by the time we go on air, these figures would have changed, but as is, that's how it stands. Now, if you're wondering how government has performed or how government feels Zimbabwe is currently performing when it comes to managing COVID-19 cases, we have the answer for you. Last week, the Minister of Information gave a press conference alongside the Ministry of Health, whereby they were addressing the media, not just talking about COVID-19, but also talking about the current state of Zimbabwean education, opening of international airports. But we're going to delve into that a little later. First up, let's head over to Minister Honorable Monica Mchangwa, who gives us more information. Once again, this is a clip from the press conference she gave last Thursday. The above clip you're about to watch is courtesy of Open Parley. So if you're looking to watch the full stream, feel free to visit their Facebook page and you'll hear more.
Over the past few months, we have moved from a total lockdown as part of efforts to gradually restart the economy without undermining efforts to contain the pandemic. Key to this gradual restarting of the economy has been the prioritization of efforts to reduce transmissions of COVID-19. Government has further eased lockdown regulations by extending business hours, resuming intercity travel, domestic flights, and international flights, which started today, and also tourism, and this has been done over the last few weeks. This week, on Monday 28th September, schools opened for examination classes, and today, 1st of October, international flights resumed. Government would like to clarify the following matters with regard to the easing of some lockdown measures so that we set the record straight. Under testing at ports of entry, in order to facilitate faster and easier discharge of our returnees, it was decided that those travellers who presented COVID-19 free certificates, which were issued 48 hours before boarding the plane, would be discharged to go home for self-quarantine at the port of entry, that is. However, those travellers who display COVID-19 symptoms, that is temperature, high temperature, coughing, and all the sneezing, those with those symptoms, regardless of having a valid COVID-19 free certificate, will have to be tested at port of entry.
So you were hearing there from Honorable Monica Muchangwa of the Ministry of Information, highlighting what government has done so far in the fight against COVID-19. And of course, she talks about COVID-19 certificates. Lucky for us, we have a group of young Zimbabwean health experts that recently formed an organization called Vaccine Global that we're going to have on the program. They partook in one of the prestigious health global challenges hosted by MIT here in the United States of America. And they actually did well out of 2,600 global entries. Vaccine Global managed to make it to the final stage. So we're going to hear more from Vaccine Global about health security and, of course, the whole discussion around ensuring that people receive adequate testing when crossing borders and so forth. Now, let's head over to what is happening in the country, COVID-19 related. We have a conversation with Thandolwe Nkosi Nkomo of I Am For Bulawayo Fighting COVID-19. In this conversation, Thandolwe Nkosi highlights a couple of things, which is A, how is COVID-19 affecting Zimbabwean youth? And secondly, of course, how is Zimbabwe rearing in terms of, managing a coronavirus as the global pandemic that is responsible for taking over a million lives to date. So let's head over to the interview that I had with Thandolwe Nkosi to hear more about what he had to say about how Zimbabwe is managing coronavirus, the current state of Zimbabwean healthcare, and what, of course, their organization, I Am For Bulawayo Fighting COVID-19, is doing in terms of helping Zimbabwean fight against coronavirus.
Since March, when the country went on to red alert,
right,
we have been really monitoring the situation, and there's been a lot of apprehension about the spread of COVID-19. There's been a lot of worry in terms of fear of what would happen if you get the disease or the infection, and worry over the impact of COVID-19 on livelihoods, really. And so I remember as we started the whole campaign against COVID-19, one of the worries that we had was what will we do with the infections? What will happen when the infection rate balloons? And what we have been seeing is, we started off with a very, very, very low infection rate that suddenly that went high much later than we anticipated.
Right.
And so what that has done, or what that did, it created a sense of complacency. But even then, I think the worry about COVID-19 is something that we really felt. It's something that we became very conscious of. And even now, it's something that we're still very conscious of. And when you look at the city of Bulawayo, for example, we have been very worried about the hotspots. Some of the suburbs in the city have been painted as hotspots. Cultural Park is one of them. I think, if I'm not mistaken, Makwekwe North and Pumula, if I'm not mistaken. And these suburbs have been said to be hotspots. And our worry has been what is driving the infections in those areas, or the things surrounding, you know, the socio-economic factors that could be impacting on this or contributing to this. And the challenge of water is one of the issues. The challenge of limited access to sources of livelihoods. The challenge of crowded shops. You know, so all these things have been at on our minds as we were thinking about, or as we're looking at the spread of COVID-19 in Zimbabwe and in Bulawayo in particular. Mm-hmm. And I think we're really grateful that the situation has not become as bad as it could have been. But at the same time, we are conscious of the impact of COVID-19.
Speaking of the impact itself, let's focus a little more. I know that majority of the population is under the age of 35. And so my question here is, how has COVID-19 affected the youth, the nation's youth?
Yeah. I think what is more apparent, or what is very apparent for the youths, is that most of these youths are people who are self-employed, or people who are trying to find their feet in the economy. And some of them also are trying to go to school, get an education, so that they can get jobs and things like that. So the very first variable in terms of impact is the loss of incomes. A lot of the young people have lost their ability to earn a living. A lot of them are hustlers. So these are the guys who are selling airtime. These are the guys who are selling, IT stuff. They are running some small shops here and there. And so because of the lockdown that came as a result of COVID-19, people, the youth in particular, lost their ability to have an income. Secondly, because of that, the safety nets around the youth crumbled. The youth are not, many of the youths are not, they are not self-sustaining, as it were. So because of the COVID-19 and the lockdown, what then happened is these safety nets in the form of parents, in the form of friends, in the form of relatives, crumbled. Mm-hmm. And of course, lastly, the education, the schools closed, and as a result, a lot of the youths are now having a backlog in terms of where they could be in terms of their schooling. Right. Furthermore, you also have the stress associated with not going to school or going to college. There's a lot of stress around that.
So now you touched on the safety nets. I am for Bulawayo, your organization, in essence, is a safety net. You're providing services that are helping people. Could you tell us a little more about some of these services that you've provided and how are people receiving them?
All right. We've received tremendous support from the people of Bulawayo, from the business community, from government, from the academic institutions. We've received a lot of support in terms of people being there, organizations being there to support us with resources to do something for the people of Bulawayo. So in terms of services that we have been offering, one of the things that we've been doing is psychosocial support, counseling. We also managed to get livelihood support in the form of food aid to quite a number of families around Bulawayo, and that food aid is still being distributed. We're still receiving and we're still passing on. So IMPO is really a vehicle through which these resources are coming in and flowing out to the people who really deserve. We have also been doing a lot of information education awareness through the media, right? And yeah, I think in terms of services, so to speak, that is what we have been doing. But Allow me to also just take a bit more time to explain how our work as IAM for Bulawayo is organized. So we've got four pillars. We've got the biomedical pillar, where we wanted to, or our desire is to strengthen the health delivery system in the country and in Bulawayo. And so under this pillar, I think one of the success indicators has been the research project that was conducted in partnership with TIPA, which means there's an organization called TIPA, which stands for Tackling Infectious Diseases for the Benefit of Africa. So we partnered and we did a testing of frontline workers, testing of frontline health workers around the city to actually, to check the validity of the, to compare the validity of the PCR and the the COVID-19 PCR and the RDT testing. And so that was something that for us was really a huge milestone, because it then helped us to get information that could then inform the COVID-19 response at a national level. Right. So that's something that we did under the biomedical under our biomedical pillar. So under biomedical, there's that research component, and of course, there's also the issue of mobilizing resources for the health centers, the COVID-19 centers, right? And then we have the social response pillar, where we have been doing the livelihood support and the psychosocial support, which I've explained just a couple of minutes ago. And then we also have the behavioral change pillar, where we are doing the behavior change communication, we're doing our awareness campaigns, we're doing our stakeholder engagement, so that people know what we are doing and they're able to support what we are doing. And then lastly, we have the resource mobilization pillar, which is really about fundraising. So we've got people who have been really on the ground fundraising, connecting with donors, and we are really grateful for the support that we've received from donors from locally in the country and from USA, from UK. I mean, the support has been just phenomenal. And all this is what is helping us to continue making an impact in the communities of Bulawayo and beyond. Yeah.
UZulu koBulawayo ikakhulukazi abasakhulayo bakwamukela njani inhlelo zenu?
Abantu abatsha siyababonga kakhulu ngoba ngathi basukumele phezulu. Ngikhumbula ukuthi ekuqaliseni sibili siqalisa lo mkhankaso, basukumele phezulu abantu abatsha bavolontiya ukuthi baphathise lapha lalapha nalapha. Abanye abantu abatsha futhi ngiyakhumbula abase-Country Park basukumele phezulu base baqalisa la ukuthi bakhankase ukuthi umkhuhlane lo ungabi mningi kakhulu e-Country Park laphana. Ngiyakhumbula futhi bakhona abantu abatsha elobhengula abasukumele phezulu bathi sebebona ukuthi heyi bakhona abaswela ukudla, bakhona abaswela lokhu lalokhu lalokhu, but njengabantu abatsha kahle nisisukume sincedisane khonapha nje khonapha emphakathini. So ngathi mina abantu abatsha basukumele phezulu kakhulu ekulwiseni umkhuhlane we-COVID-19 ebulawayo, lokuthi likwenzeni nje ukuthi umsebenzi wethu nje njenge-IAM for Bulawayo kube umsebenzi sibili olula kakhulu.
Isikhathi yiso sesidliwe ngumangoye mnumzana, besigqiba ingxoxo yethu bengicela ukuthi uphosele amazwi akho okugcina kubontanga, njalo utshela ikakhulukazi abalaleli bethu ukuthi abafisa ukuthola ulwazi oluthile mayelana ngenhlanganiso ye-IAM for Bulawayo fighting COVID-19 bangaliqhuma njalo.
Kubontanga ebantwini abatsha engingakutsho ukuthi hey madoda lamantombazana, into leyi esiphakathi kwayo idinga ukuthi abantu abatsha basukumele phezulu. Abantu abatsha bakhangele, bazikhangele bona, bazikhangele phakathi, bengameleli ukuthi khona uncedo luzavela e-America, uncedo luzavela e-Britain, uncedo luzavelanga, kodwa bakhangele, bezikhangele nje abantu abatsha ukuthi heyi, siyakwanisa ukuthi simelane le lo mkhuhlane we-COVID-19. Nanzelele nje ukuthi abantu abatsha baqhakathekile, abantu abatsha abaningi bakhona yibo asebegcinile imizi lapho koBulawayo. Sikhanya thi bona nje abantu abatsha babe yibo abahambela phambili ukuthi bakhuthaze abantu ukuthi bagqoke ama-mask, bakhuthaze abantu ukuthi bayenze i-physical distancing, bakhuthaze abantu ukuthi bamelane ngesibindi, bemelane lo mkhuhlane we-COVID-19. Lapho esitholakala khona, siyatholakala sine website, i-address yakhona ithi www.im4byo.org.zw, iwebsayithi yethu liyana. Siyatholakala njalo kuFacebook, singathi i-address yethu at im4byo, i-address yethu kuFacebook ngapho ngulo uyakubhala @lwana im4byo, uyasithola khona phana. La kuTwitter uyasebenzisa the same, uyasebenzisa yona leyo njalo i-address. Nxa ubone kungcono ukuthi wangena etown wathi wothi kanti ngivakatshe emahofisini, amahofisi ethu akukhona 11th Avenue and Samuel Parinyata. Khona 11th Avenue and Samuel Parinyata. Kulefleti khonaphana uzathola nje isayini yethu ethi im4byo, umngene khonaphana kuyabe kukhona nje umuntu ozalinceda.
Sithanda ukubonga uthando lwenkosi Nkomo owenhlanganiso ye-IM4byo fighting COVID-19. Tinothanda zvikurusa vaNkomo nekupinda muchirongwa. So that was Thando lwenkosi Nkomo of IM4byo fighting COVID-19. We had him here on the program touching on several different things, which is, of course, the effect that COVID-19 has had on Zimbabwe and, of course, what their organization is doing in terms of helping the country fight coronavirus. For more information, you heard him there. Visit their Facebook page. Of course, you can check their website out at www.im4byo.co.zw. But now, earlier on, we heard Honorable Monica Muchangwa touch on one a very, very important thing, which is the fact that Zimbabwe recently has opened its international airports. And we see that neighboring countries have opened the borders. And of course, there are people who have been traveling between the borders for certain reasons, people who are authorized. But now with that in mind has led to certain things. At some stage and point in Zimbabwe, we're talking about coronavirus being something that was brought in from other nations such as South Africa, that currently has arguably one of the highest figures in Africa. Now, we have health experts that have touched, that have organizations that specifically deal with this. One of them that we are about to hear from is Vaxi Global. Vaxi Global was part of this year's MIT Challenge. Now, for those that do not know what the MIT Challenge is, here in America, we have a prestigious institution called MIT, Massachusetts Institute for Technology, and they have an annual global challenge series whereby they invite companies, institutions from across the world, not just the United States of America, for them to combat different challenges and find solutions to different challenges that the world is facing. This year, they focused on health security and global pandemics. Of course, this is happening during a time whereby the whole world, mhlaba wonke jikelele, pasi rose rikurisana ne dambudziko iri coronavirus, mhlaba wonke jikelele is fighting umkhuhlane we COVID-19. So Vaxi Global stepped in and they partook in this challenge, and out of 2600 entries from over 135 different countries, Vaxi Global managed to make it to the final stage. So abona abontanga abatabaka kwele Zimbabwe sabachayela ihlombe. I managed to get a hold to the some of the founding members of Vaxi Global to talk about their time during the MIT Challenge, the outcome of the MIT Challenge, and of course, how Vaxi Global is helping in terms of Zimbabwe's fight against coronavirus. So let's head over to the founders of Vaxi Global to hear more information. And of course, once again, Muriya Zimbabwe, if you're looking to give your input, Msakanganu Mnokwanisa Uchinyora pa Facebook, as soon as the radio stream is over, we will be having this broadcast on Facebook.
Challenge is something that came up after we'd already started the solution. So this is something that we've been thinking about for quite some time. And so it started the process of creating Vaxi Global, setting up the organization. Then the MIT Solve Challenge came about. Mm-hmm. And then we decided to just put our project in there and join so as to get better experience and get better support and also get potential strategic partners mm-hmm. to venture with us in this idea. So that's how we then entered into the MIT Challenge Solution.
When I was paying attention to your pitch as an organization, a lot of the things that you were talking about touches on what you were highlighting, the buying of vaccination, certificates. How serious is this thing for you two guys to hang on to that? Like, is this a big thing that's happening?
So when we started off with vaccination certificates only. That was before COVID-19, right? So we did a survey by Roadport. It's just a survey, just asking people, have you ever bought a vaccination certificate? You know, when you want to travel, let's say from Zimbabwe to Zambia,
right?
You need that yellow fever card.
Right.
So it's just conversations with these people, these cross-border traders, just asking them out of interest, you have this card. Did you actually get vaccinated or you just got it? And they're like, they're around. You can buy. Mm-hmm. When you get to the border, all they want is the card. So these people, instead of going to the clinics, it's easier to just get to Roadport, buy a certificate and travel.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what people do actually. And for COVID-19, there are also some labs which haven't been verified yet to do those tests. So people can actually just go there, get your COVID-19 results, and you're done, you're traveling. But they are not verified by the ministry. Mm-hmm. So these are things that are just happening because people are more concerned with getting the certificate more than being vaccinated or tested, actually.
Hmm. Is this such a dangerous thing? Is this a big deal?
Yeah, it is a big deal. With COVID-19, we know that it's highly infectious. Mm-hmm. And if you are positive and you're just traveling with a fake COVID certificate, which means you are likely to be spreading the condition and spreading the disease to other people.
Okay. So, Titi, I'll come to you now. Let's delve deeper more into the MIT challenge. Now, on the line, of course, was millions of dollars, which you guys weren't able to attain, but I'm sure you were able to get something out of it. Any finances, any partnerships, any sponsorships that you guys were able to attain? I mean, you made it to the final stage.
We've got partnerships coming up. They're loading.
Oh, okay. We like that. We like to hear that. So now let's talk about how you've highlighted how your organization is focused on global communities, right? So the challenge itself, folks, when I read up on the challenge, they're talking about how the idea was to better prepare global communities, for future pandemics and the current one, of course, being COVID-19. So now when we talk Vaxi Global, how does Vaxi Global fit into all this? How does Vaxi Global help in fighting COVID-19 globally?
So as we mentioned prior to this, so our system, we've tailor-made it such that it includes COVID-19 certificates and also tracing where you got it. Was it legit? How many hours ago did you actually get the test done? So it will actually be tracking all the travelers who are traveling throughout the border, throughout the world, to see if the test that they had was legit and was it negative, and such that we promote healthy travel and also promote people's freedom to travel.
You guys are based in Zimbabwe, where it's not the most friendly, the best place to do business. However, you're still there, and you're creating a conducive thing out of it. So I am curious, though, to say, how is Vaxi Global working right now? Yes, you're working with the global community, but you're in Zimbabwe. How are you working right now in Zimbabwe?
Well, the thing is, coming from an economy like ours and also being a startup, it's not as easy.
Right.
We literally have to sacrifice everything we have on a personal capacity so as to push most of the most of what we are doing. So in the likes that you competitions like MIT and so forth will get us strategic partners that can then boost our system and also our networking. It's not easy because we have to actually literally sacrifice everything we have to so as to build the business.
Do you want to add on to that?
Also, as well, there are a lot of processes that you have to go through, and sometimes they're a bit slow and hectic, but we just have to be patient and go through each and every step. So we're just trying to add the patience as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So now, as we wrap up our conversation here, guys, like I said, I brought you here to highlight what Vaxxy Global is all about. Fortunately for us as Voice of America, we have a lot of people who cross borders on a day-to-day basis that pay attention to our programs. Vaxxy Global fits right in. So my question, I guess, as we wrap up our conversation is, where can people find more information on Vaxxy Global?
Okay, so we've got a website, Vaxxy Global. Just type in Vaxxy Global and you find our website. On our website, we've got information of our services. Mm-hmm. As well, and if you want to create an account, you just sign in and create your account on the same website. We've got our contact details on the website as well.
All right, Moria Zimbabwe, you just heard there from the founders of Vaxxy Global, co-founders, Dr. Chinotendas Memeza, and of course the CEO, Tsitsi Sifiali. They were touching on how Vaxxy Global is helping in the fight against coronavirus worldwide, not just for Zimbabwe. Vabatanya zvikuitika kumabhodha uko hanzi kune vanhu vazhinji vanhu vakawanda zvechokwadi varikuita zvekutotenga macertificate kana vakukrosa mabhodha izvo hazvibvumidzwe hazvisi pamutemo kana munhu achikrosa bhodha anofanirwa achitestwa for chirwere checoronavirus nemamwoka madisease akafanana na yellow fever, na measles, na zhimwe wo. So that's what Vaxxy Global is doing, this stepping in to provide a safe way, to provide a more guaranteed way to show kuti aiwa zvechokwadi munhu uyu akacheswa and beba raanaro nderechokwadi. So udaba esilalo namhla kuhlelo besithinta udaba lomkhuhlane we-COVID-19 sike saxoxa lomnumzana Thando Lwenkosi Inkomo wenhlanganiso e-IM for Bulawayo Fighting COVID-19. Siphinde saxoxa njalo labatsha abenhlanganiso e-Vaxxy Global, udokotela Chinotendas Memeza kanye lonkosazana Tsitsi Sifiali. Bayachasisa ngempela lokho abakwenzayo ekulwisaneni ngomkhuhlane we-COVID-19. Hayi hatshelizwe kuphela but emhlabeni wonke jikelele ikakhulukazi kuzwekazi ele Africa. So now, early on in the conversation, I highlighted Kutinasi Mchirongwa today on our program. We're not just going to be focusing on our coronavirus. However, we're also going to be unearthing, highlighting what's happening in our schools. As we speak, a lot of government schools do not have teachers and a lot of students are not getting their chance to pursue their education and, of course, prepare for the upcoming examinations. Why teachers are not in school? Teachers are currently protesting. Now, last week, once again, as I mentioned earlier on in our conversation, the Minister of Information, Honorable Monica Mchangwa, addressed the media. And throughout this address, she touched on several different things, as highlighted earlier on, coronavirus. Now, another thing she touched on was civil servants. What government is doing in order to work alongside civil servants to ensure that civil servants get to a stage and point whereby they're satisfied with their paycheck, satisfied with the conditions that they're working under. Let's head over to the clip of Honorable Monica Mchangwa. Once again, this footage you're about to watch is courtesy of Open Apali.
Under civil servants' salary negotiations, government is aware of the challenges facing civil servants, including teachers, and is committed to improving the welfare of its workers. Consultations are currently underway to consider the request by the Accords Council in the last negotiating meeting, which was held with government. On its part, government has maintained the US$75 COVID-19 allowance up to the end of December and the 40% cost of living adjustment, which the workers have requested government to improve. And this has been paid and will reflect in the civil servants' accounts by the end of day tomorrow. Normally, government does not effect salary adjustments without a signed agreement, but we have had to go out of our way to cushion our dedicated workers. Meanwhile, negotiations at the National Joint Negotiating Council will continue, and any agreement arrived at will be honored in the spirit of collective bargaining. Government has had a long history of negotiating with its workers in good faith and increases negotiated should not work against the stability that has been achieved on the financial markets and price stability, as this will fuel inflation again and erode the gains we have achieved. I appeal to civil servants to be patient and allow negotiations to be concluded.
So, Muriel Zimbabwe here, and they are from the Minister of Information. This was a press giving that she, where she was addressing the media last week, Thursday. Apongo chinyatso tsanangura zvavo zvirikuitwa nehurumende mukuedza kugadzirisa dambudziko iri rakatarisana nevashandi vehurumende kusanganisira varayiridzi. So that was our honorable Monica Mchangwa ubekhuluma ngempela last week, ekhuluma le ndaba echasisa ngempela lokho kwenziwa nguhulumende abezama ngempela ukulungisisa udaba udubo olubhekane labantu abasebenzela uhulumende, ikakhulukazi ababalisi bona abatshengisela ngalesi sikhathi besithi abathabanga neholo abalitholayo, bona sebefuna phela ukuthola imali zabo ngamadola awemelika $520. Now, to head over to Gweru, an event that happened yesterday in Gweru. Yesterday was World Teachers' Day, and the Amalgamated Rural Teachers' Union of Zimbabwe decided to take it upon themselves to host an event whereby they were highlighting their grievances as teachers and, of course, highlighting what the day means to them in Zimbabwe. Once again, this day is coming during a time whereby our teachers are currently protesting up in arms, saying that they want to be paid in U.S. dollars. They want to receive their paycheck, $520. They're not happy with their current salary because receiving their payment or their remuneration in Zimbabwe dollars or bond notes is something that is not helping them much. A lot of them highlight that they're not satisfied. Just yesterday, one of our reporters spoke to them, and they were highlighting that just if you compare the salary of a Zimbabwean teacher in comparison to their counterparts in Southern Africa, in places like South Africa, a teacher is making at least $1,000 an equivalent. However, in Zimbabwe, it is $75, which is something that they feel is not enough. They want to receive the $520 that they've been that they once received. So let's head over to Gweru, what happened yesterday, whereby the Amalgamated Rural Teachers Union of Zimbabwe had an event commemorating the day. Let's hear more from them.
The mother to mourn, that will want the workers to suffer in this nation. We are convention at a time where we are coming from our home with empty stomachs, all because of a system that is put in place to exploit the workers.
Muruzu zwira kamuri eZimbabwe liyazizwela ngempela umnumzana uRobson Chere uyakhuluma ngempela abenhlanganiso amalgamated rural teachers union of Zimbabwe. They had umhlangano izolo lapho they were talking about indubeko their problems njengababalisi. But we also reached out to uRobson Chere to kind of comment on other issues that were related and some of the developments, such as the payment that they received last week. Was it enough? And of course, why are they not choosing to work alongside government whilst government looks to resolve, whilst they're currently in talks? But let's head over to uRobson Chere to hear more about to hear more about what they're saying as teachers.
Ngano itwa pakati pe hurumende no anomirira vashandi hauna chawaburitsa nekuti vanga vakamirira hurumende wamavhima hawana chawauya nacho chinoonekwa uye kuti vatambire nhunha dzedu wangotaura kuti nhunha dzenyu dzanzwika achanodzisa kumakurukota izvo zvaita kuti tizobudawo takagumbuka zvisingaite.
Tipeiwo maondero enyu pamusoro pezvemashoko akataurwa naHonorable Monica Mtsvangwa apo vakati senzira yekudzivirira kutekeshera kweCOVID-19 zvikoro zviri kusangana nedambudziko rekushayikwa kwemvura hazvina kupiwa mvumo yekuvhura kusvikira dambudziko iri ragadziriswa.
Mashoko akaburitsa kuti zvikoro zvisina mvura zvakanzi zvisavhure idzodzo inhema dzakanyanya zvikuru. Hurumende yakaisa instruction yekuti zvikoro zvese zvinge zvichivhura apa pasina zvikwanisiro zvakanga zviripo, uye isu sevanomirira varayiri tichigara tichivaudza kuti nyaya yedenda recovid inyaya yatofanira kukoshesa, tofanisa zvikwanisiro zvese zvinoita kuti varayiridzi vange vari safe pamwe chete nevana vechikoro panguva ino denda iri ratekeshera nyika yose.
Sezvo muri pakati pekutaurirana nehurumende uyezve vhiki rapfuura makapiwa imwe mari nehurumende, chii chiri kutadzisa varayiridzi kuti vadzokere kuzvikoro kuitira kuti vabatsire vadzidzi mukugadzirira bvunzo dzavo idzo dzave pedyo?
Hatingaiti mari, nekuti mari yakaiswa nehurumende haitokwane kana kuti munhu anga achikwanisa kufamba kuenda kuchikoro kwaanodzidzisa kuti anga achiwana kukwira muchovha chaiwo. Saka hatingati hurumende yakaisa mari. Saka panguva ino tikuramba takati hurumende ngaitipe zvikwanisiro zvinoita kuti tinge tichienda kumabasa, tinge tichiwana mihoro inokwanisa kuti tinge tichifamba kuenda kumabasa, uye mhuri dzevarayiridzi dzinge dzichiwanawo chokudya munguva inoyi.
Tichipeta hurukuro yedu vachere, kandai mashoko enyu ekupedzisira kune vadzidzi pamwe chete nevabereki vasiri kufara nenyaya yekuti vadzidzi havasi kuwana mukana wekudzidza panguva iyo varayiridzi vasiri kuenda kumabasa.
Kuvabereki vose vemuno muZimbabwe vane vana vanoenda kuzvikoro nevana, tinoti dambudziko revarayiridzi idambudziko rinofanira kunzwisika, dambudziko rekushaya mihoro inokwana idambudziko rinofanira kuti ringe richinzwisika. Hurumende zvokwadi yakataura kuti zvikoro ngazvivhurwe, vana vanyore mazamanishoni. Asi mukunge zvikoro zvavhurwa, vana vachinyora mazamanishoni, vana vanofanira kupiwa nguva yekunge vachidzidza, kukavhira nguva yavakanga vasina kudzidza. Hatingafariri kuti vana vange vachingononyora mazamanishoni ivo vasina kuwana nguva yekukavhira nguva yavasina kunge vakadzidza. Uyezvo hatingafarire kuti varayiridzi vange vachidzidzisa matumbu avo asina kana chikafu waine nzara. Mhuri dzavo dzakagara kumba dzisiri kuchikoro vachidzidzisa vana vedu vabereki, asi vana vavo vakagara kudzimba. Saka yanguva yekuti dambudziko remurayiridzi idambudziko remwana wechikoro, idambudziko remubereki. nguva yekuti tionere pamwe chete, tifambe tiri pamwe chete, tichisapota nhamo yevarairidzi, toona kuti dzidzo yedu ienderere mberi, nekuti dzidzo yedu kuti ienderere mberi muZimbabwe inoda kunge ichidzidziswa nevarairidzi vari kufara basa ravo vachiriita nemazvo, vana veduwo vachidzidzawo waine nemazvo. Dzidzo yedu ndokuti ienderere mberi mukati menyika ino yeZimbabwe.
Muriye Zimbabwe, you just heard that from the Secretary General of the Amalgamated Rural Teachers Union of Zimbabwe, Mr. Robson Chere himself. Up until Emmerson Mnangagwa fixes the grievances or addresses the grievances faced by teachers. What do students and parents have to say about this? Our correspondent, Basabile Masubu, over the past week has been speaking to both students and parents to hear their reaction towards what's happening in schools. So let's hear more from them to hear what they have to say.
Indaba yamanzi ezikolo leyahlupha kakhulu ngoba why yoni government ivumele ukuthi izikolo zivule kungakalungiselelwa zonke lezi izinto odokumele ziqale zilungiswe before ku-announce ukuvula kwezikolo ngoba amanzi aqhakathekile kathesi nxa sibhekane le-COVID.
Mina sikhathazekile njengabazali ngendaba yamanzi ngoba kulo mkhuhlane lo esibhekane lawo kathesi, umkhuhlane lo kumele kube la manzi. Abantwana bavikela njani umkhuhlane nxa bezasuka beye ezikolo akula manzi?
Izikolo lokhu ezivuliweyo asikafundi lutho, so besikulongola ide. Ngicabanga ukuthi sizathi sifike esikolo sihle vele singenele ukufunda, akula titsho sebuyile, asitshelwa lutho, asikwazi lokuthi kwenzakalani.
Asiboni igovernment ithi sincedisa ngani ngoba abantwana baye esikolo, bayahamba esikolo kodwa kabafundi, kabafundisi, amatitsha akustrike. So asikwazi ukuthi ukuvula lokhu kuvulelweni.
Yebo kambe, mazwizwira kamuri yeZimbabwe, you just heard it there for yourself. With abazali kanye nabafundi bona bathini ngalokho okwenzakalayo ezikolo. Mazwizwira kambe kamuri yeZimbabwe, zviri kutaurwa nevadzidzi pamwe chete nevabereki vari kugunun'una zvechokwadi nezviri kuitika muzvikoro. Takanzwa futi zvekare vhiki rapfuura hurumende ichinyatso kuti zvikoro, sezvo muzvikoro vana vari zvimwewo zvikoro zviri kusangana nedambudziko rokushayikwa kwemvura ndazvimbomira kuvhura. So muri kunzwa vabereki vari kugunun'una zvechokwadi vari kuti saka mambozvivhurirewo chiko zvikoro imi muchiziva kuti chii, zvinhu hazvisati zvaita bho muzvikoro, zvinhu hazvisati zvava nyore, zvinhu hazvisati zvamira mushe muzvikoro, kuitira kuti vana vadzoke vachinodzidza muenvironment yakanaka apo vanokwanisa kudzivirira kuchekeshera kwechirwere checovid-19. Uhlelo The Connection muineni Mike Hove muri yeZimbabwe. You're tuned into The Connection with your boy Mike Hove. So far we've touched on COVID-19 and of course what's happening in Zimbabwe schools. If you're looking to give your input, please feel free to text us on WhatsApp on +1 202 465 0318. You can also write your comments in the comment section on our three Facebook pages, VOA Shona, VOA Ndebele, Nepa, VOA Studio 7. Makacherera chirongwa chedu chevechidiki, uhlelo The Connection. Zira kahanzi na jazz signal aiwa 2019 ndiyo namba yekufona. Hanzi gezai maoko, gezai maoko, gezai maoko. Shout out to Tirarira, Mr. Jazz Signal himself, for the message there. 2019 is the number to dial. Kana uchifungidzira kuti you're showing my symptoms of coronavirus and you want to figure out where is the closest place you can be tested, whether or not it's necessary for you to get tested, 2019 is the number to dial.
Now, Moria Zimbabwe, we had a conversation with an education entrepreneur, but unfortunately, due to time constraints, we will have to upload it our website, www.voazimbabwe.com, whereby he talks about the current state of Zimbabwean education in terms of, we know, lockdown. Now, is this possible in Zimbabwe? Come to our website, www.voazimbabwe.com. But before we head over to the end of our, before we wrap up our program, we want to touch on what's happening here in the United States of America. Late last week, we saw the president of the United States of America, President Donald Trump, telling the world on Twitter that he had contracted coronavirus, alongside his wife, of course, the First Lady, Melania Trump. Both of them contracted coronavirus. Now, President Trump was released, left a hospital this morning, whereby he was being treated for COVID-19. He will be getting treated from home. Let's hear more from our VOA correspondent to hear more about how President Trump's announcement has affected his U.S. Election run. For those that do not know, in November, the United States of America is going to be holding their presidential elections. So let's head over to the VOA correspondent to hear more about President Trump and, of course, COVID-19.
Over the weekend, President Trump's supporters gathered outside of Walter Reed Military Medical Center in suburban Maryland as the president was undergoing coronavirus treatment to wish him a speedy recovery.
He's strong. He's a fighter. So I have every hope. But, I mean, obviously, they need to take every precaution.
On Sunday, supporters cheered as Trump briefly emerged from the hospital to wave at the crowd from his motorcade. But some medical experts raised concerns that two Secret Service agents were riding in the vehicle with the infected president. A new Reuters poll indicates the outpouring of concern for the president's well-being may not have helped his re-election campaign, with Democratic candidate Joe Biden increasing his lead nationally to 10 percentage points over Trump. And in the same poll, nearly two-thirds of respondents thought the president, who has held crowded events and mocked the wearing of masks, probably would not have been infected if he had taken the virus more seriously. Across the country, voters critical of the president have tempered their concern for his health with harsh criticism for what they see as his reckless behavior in Wisconsin.
I don't want the man to die from it, and I know he's starting to show symptoms, but I hope he gets a good case of it so he understands how people are suffering and dying and realize how serious it really is.
And in Virginia, where early voting in the presidential election has already begun.
On the one hand, people may feel sympathetic toward him. On the other hand, people may think it's ironic since he's been so anti-mask and all of that.
For its part, the Trump campaign defends the president's efforts to limit the pandemic's impact on the economy.
We can't all just stay in our basement for the rest of our lives. We have to get out there and live our lives and take this on, develop the vaccine, develop more therapeutics, and defeat it.
While the Trump campaign has been mostly sidelined as he recuperates from COVID-19, Biden continues to hold a mix of socially distanced and virtual events where he underscores the seriousness of the pandemic. And with the election just weeks away and an estimated 3 million ballots already cast in early voting and by mail, Trump has a narrow window to make up for lost time on the campaign trail. Brian Patton, VOA News, Washington.
All right, there, Muriel Zimbabwe. You just heard there from Brian Penn of VOA News here in Washington, D.C. He took to the streets of America. You heard there, Izolani Zimeliga, this Kurumela Ngempela, local Imitaba Ngoyabo, Pezu Gugubanjo, Mungameli Donald Trump, and Mkushane with COVID-19. But now, there's also another big thing that's happening this week. The vice presidential candidates, the current vice president, Mike Pence, and, of course, the Democratic vice presidential candidate, Kamala Harris, are both going to be going toe-to-toe tomorrow night in the vice presidential debates. Let's hear more from VOA. To hear more, what is bound to come out of this? And of course, how important is this vice presidential debate?
It is considered the political undercard, the vice presidential debate. Wednesday's debate between Republican Vice President Mike Pence and Democratic Senator Kamala Harris has multiple storylines that make it more interesting and watchable.
The historic nature of Kamala Harris's nomination and the fact that a woman of color, first woman of color on a major party ticket, will be debating.
Geraldine Ferrara was the first woman to participate in a vice presidential debate, facing George Herbert Walker Bush, Ronald Reagan's running mate, in 1984.
So I remember there being tremendous concern about the way Vice President Bush should debate the first female on a presidential ticket. And he could be at times a very competitive man and certainly was a very good debater, knew his material very well, but didn't want to look as though he was bullying her in any way.
In 2008, voters were eager to see Sarah Palin debate Joe Biden.
The expectations for that Biden-Palin vice presidential debate were so great. It's the only time in presidential debate history that the vice presidential debate outdrew, had more viewers than the top of the ticket presidential debates. And those top of the ticket debates were not snoozers because they included Barack Obama in terms of historic debates.
Now, President Trump's COVID diagnosis is increasing already high expectations for the Pence-Harris debate.
Vice President Pence was the head of the coronavirus task force originally. Trump seemed to sort of take it over from him. But certainly the Harris campaign will be going right for Pence on coronavirus concerns. She's got a reputation for being a very aggressive questioner in the Senate Judiciary Committee. She's known for sort of laying these traps and trying to bait people to respond. So she will be a very formidable debater, I think. Pence, on the other hand, is a pretty unflappable guy to the point of sometimes not being very animated at all. The chances of him falling into any sort of trap are pretty small.
His illness aside, President Trump is age 74. Joe Biden is 77. This vice presidential debate has future implications.
If Mike Pence has another good debate in 2020, as he did 4 years ago, then that really helps strengthen his position as the Republican nominee in 2024. And the same with Kamala Harris, who's obviously, you know, young enough to have a long-term ambition here.
But too much focus on 4 years from now risks losing sight of the main debate objective, defend the presidential candidate they are running with. The vice presidential candidates meet Wednesday evening in Salt Lake City, Utah. Steve Reddish, VOA News, Washington.
All right, Maria Zimbabwe, you just heard there from our VOA correspondent, Steve Reddish, who is based here in Washington, D.C. So, kamangwana mang neru, Maria Zimbabwe, tiani, jebe ngempela, busasa, ebusugu, busasa, njambama, lapa kwele mendiga. Vice President Mike Pence will be going up against the Democratic vice presidential candidate, Senator Kamala Harris. We have come to an end of our program. COVID-19. So far in Zimbabwe, as we speak, the numbers stand as follows. Over 7,890 people have tested positive for COVID-19. Over 6,420 have recovered and 228 dead. Bwanelwa lamhlamuriya Zimbabwe tashika kumagume echirongwa chedu chanasi sesifikile maphesuleni wohlelo lwethu labasakhulayo. Unfortunately, time has run out. Nonetheless, thangatsipano nasi mchirongwa today on the connection we're talking COVID-19. We highlighted what's happening in schools, and of course, we highlighted what's happening here in the United States of America. Let's meet same time, same place. Pano pachirongwa chedu chevechidiki. Mwineni Mike Hove here on the connection. Muriya Zimbabwe. Bye bye.